Welcome to break number 6. Take your coffee or juice or toast or bagel or nothing. Maybe just your pillow on your couch or a recliner with your feet up and just listen up. Grab your Bible. Let's look at something this morning or this evening or this afternoon or whatever. And let's touch once more on something that I have mentioned recently. I want to get it across. And I know I left out a couple of verses, so let's go through this again just a little bit here. And it's in Hebrews chapter 13 we're looking at here. What we're looking at today in our break number 6, we're going to check out just a few comments about pastors, of which I was for 13 years in the state of Washington and learned a lot of lessons during that. I wish people would have learned as much as I've learned, but we're looking at Hebrews chapter 13. We're going to look at Hebrews 13:7. We're going to look at Hebrews 13. Then we're going to look at Hebrews chapter 13, verse 17. Then we're going to take a comment or two about touch not the anointed, which is how I know pastors feel about themselves. And let's do a little bit of looking here. Hebrews 13:7. This is the verse. These are the two verses that pastors claim all the time. Now, reminders to all the listeners out there that these are not written to us. These are not written to pastors today. So if a pastor pulls this one on and you say, listen, pastor, you're dispensationally out of whoop, and you're wrong, and we love you, but there's some things you need to be doing that you're not doing, and you're not feeding me the proper food, so I am out of here, bam, zoom, gone. And that's what needs to take place. And if that would have happened over the years, then the pastors would have either gotten back into their Bibles, they would have thrown out their degrees where they were taught by professors that Hebrews 13:7-17 is what you say to your folks if you want to have some power and you want to have some control in your congregation. Well, during the tribulation, they're going to have this kind of power over these people. They're going to have to be telling these people, listen, if you don't get this together, this will affect your eternity, and I've got to be teaching you this stuff, and I've got to be doing what these two verses say, or my joy is robbed, which will affect you and your tribulational walk and the results of. But that's in the future. Doesn't seem like it's very far into the future, but it's getting closer. You know, and in some respects, it's kind of, unique or whatever the word is, that pastors are teaching in the churches today what they will have to be teaching during the tribulation. And so in all reality, the people are being prepared how to live during the tribulation. They're being taught that now, so many churches. Of course, not all the churches. And I know there's Paul people out there, don't know very many. And the ones that are Grace Ministry ones, they're teaching Paul and the mystery, et cetera, et cetera. But they certainly do seem to stay away from Paul's main purpose, which we'll get into here in a couple minutes. So let's get to verse 7 here. Let's get back to what, to show you why the pastors, what they're doing today is just wrong. And I think some of you will recognize these things. Verse 7, remember them which have the rule over you, who have spoken unto you the word of God, whose faith follow, considering the end of their conversation. In other words, watch how your pastor lives, and you better follow him, follow his faith, his walk, his conversation. And he does have the rule over you, so remember that. Now in verse 17, obey them. So you need to obey your pastor. Obey them that have the rule over you and submit yourselves. Submit yourselves to your pastor. Submit your finances. Submit your day-to-day life. Submit your family to the pastor and to the pastor's wife and to the teen pastor and all these things that take place. Submit the kind of music your pastor listens to, you can listen to. The kind of clothing your pastor's wife wears, you can wear. The kind of behavior the pastor's kids have, your kids can behave. This is what we're looking at here. Submit yourself. So they watch for your souls as they that must give account. These pastors have to think that they have to give an account. Well, they will during the tribulation. Now, there's two reasons I can say that. One is this is in the book of Hebrews. I'm not a Hebrew. It wasn't written to me. And two, they're going to have to be walking their walk properly, and it will all affect Revelation chapter 14. It will affect how these people live. So, yes, they watch for their souls during the tribulation. The wrong walk in those people lose their souls, and they can't get them back. So, yes, the pastors will be important during those days, the few that there will be teaching the truth, that is. And then it finishes up, and they that must give account, that they may do it with joy and not with grief, for that is unprofitable for you. And they put that on the people today and make you feel guilty because your pastor's not happy. He doesn't have the joy he should have. He's grievous over your soul. He's grievous over your life. Oh, it's just, I've heard it so many times. And if you haven't heard it, you've probably heard it. You just didn't realize you were hearing what I'm saying here. Now, so that's tribulational stuff. So we've been over that a couple of times, a lot of times in the website. Let's go to 1 Chronicles 16, and let's see where they get some of their extra added oomph when they tell people these things. 1 Chronicles 16, look at verse 22 where it says here, and they go right to this verse. They don't go through any context. They don't go through the historicalness of this thing. They don't do any of that. They just find this verse in there, and they stop, and they what's the word? They expound on this verse where it says, "Touch not mine anointed, and do my prophets no harm." Well, if they don't want to do the Chronicles one, let's do one out of Psalms, because everybody loves to go to the Psalms. So Psalms is going to say in chapter 105, verse 15, there it is again, saying, "Touch not mine anointed, and do my prophets no harm." So we see this. Well, let's just step back a little bit, do a little bit of common sensing. Scriptural word for that is rightly dividing, but it's just common sense. This Psalms, this is Chronicles, this is Old Testament stuff, this is all Jewish life. Yes, they had their prophets, and you can read about them in the Old Testament, and yeah, they weren't supposed to mess with those guys. They're supposed to listen to them. Then you go to Hebrews, and you get the same thing again to the Jews, and there's that rule over the people that these lead spiritual leaders will have. But what about Paul? I mean, what's going on here? Well, let's go here to... There are some things that we need to be doing, considering Paul, the pastors, I should say. Well, let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 4, and let's first look at verse, we might as well go back to 16, just one quick little verse. So, "Wherefore I beseech you, be ye followers of me," where we are reminded to follow Paul. Remember, these modern Bibles say to imitate Paul. I have no desire to imitate Paul, but to follow Paul, he's my only apostle, that's the way it should be. Verse 17, "For this cause have I sent unto you Timotheus, who is my beloved son, and faithful in the Lord, who shall bring you into remembrance of my ways." Okay, so Timothy is there, 1 and 2 Timothy is there, especially, to teach us about the ways of Paul. Then it goes on and says, "which be in Christ." So Paul's ways, his daily life was in Christ. Then it says, "as I teach everywhere in every church." So every church should be teaching the ways of Paul. Not just the words of Paul, but the ways of Paul. So these pastors that are teaching these things about being the ruler and watching for their soul and don't touch, don't say anything, don't criticize them and all that, are they teaching the ways of Paul? If they are not teaching the ways of Paul, bam, zoom, to the moon, get out of that church. It's just that simple. I know nice people, nice friends you have there, something for your kids to do, something for your wife to do. There's all sorts of answers to those, by the way. That is not true. Your kids can survive without those other kids in the church. Your wife can survive by not trying to live the life your pastor's wife lives. And yes, they're teaching lies to you and to your family. They're not teaching the ways of Paul, which it should be done, as it says, everywhere in every church. Now, let's look at Ephesians chapter 6, verse 21. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 21. "But that ye also may know my affairs," again, that's Paul, "and how I do," okay, this is about Paul's way of life, his manner of life, "Tychicus, a beloved brother and faithful minister in the Lord, shall make known to you all things, whom I have sent unto you for the same purpose, that you might know our affairs, that he might comfort your hearts." Again, talking about Paul and the people that follow with him. Our, plural. Their life, their affairs, their manner of life, as Paul calls it. And by the way, this Tychicus, or Tychicus, I never could pronounce that thing. Tychicus, he is the one that penned Ephesians for Paul. So what it is that Paul has to say about his affairs, Tychicus was the man that wrote these things down. So yes, he did send us Tychicus, really, Tychicus, whatever, so we can know about Paul's life, so we can know about the comfort that we get from what we learn in the book of Ephesians. I can't think of many books, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, that you should read every day and get joy and comfort and guidance and encouragement just from those books. Ephesians, Colossians, which is quite similar to Ephesians. Those are just fantastic books. So, like Paul says, Tychicus, a beloved brother, shall make known to you all things. So he did that even for us today. He took Paul's affairs, wrote them down. Okay, so let's keep going here. Let's go here to 2 Timothy chapter 4. This is for our pastors today, that if they want to know what they should be doing within their ministry, well, here it is. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 2. Preach the word. Well, we can't get any further without stopping and saying, and most of your pastors out there don't even know what the word is. They think it's their word, and God will show them in their hearts what they need to say. It's very simple. It's just a King James Bible. Preach the word. So preach that King James Bible. Preach that King James Bible rightly divided. Very simply, if they don't do that, again, bam, zoom, out of the door you go. And when they say rightly divided, make sure they're not wrongly dividing. If it's from one of these guys that teaches that they can pick and choose various verses for how they fit different dispensations within Paul's books, the Gospels and Peter and James, all these guys, that's not rightly dividing. That's wrongly using. That's not rightly dividing at all. Rightly dividing is what Paul teaches, and Paul only. And even at that, you've got to teach all of what Paul teaches, and that's including the manner of life. And this is why I say there are some grace preachers out there that they may teach the mystery, as it says here in Ephesians chapter 3 here, it's called here Ephesians chapter 3, the revelation, he made known unto me the mystery. The Gentiles should be fellow heirs and of the same body and partakers of his promise in Christ by the gospel. Yes, that's what this is all about. But do they also go on and preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ? They just stick with the fellowship of the mystery, and they skip all of his manner of life. They skip his affairs of his life. They skip the things that Paul teaches us that we should do. Well, how can you say that? Because I've looked at the websites of the Grace Ministry world, and they're not teaching what Paul says according to their day-to-day walk. I do believe, kind of in a nutshell, that the Grace Ministries world wants to be a Christian without the persecution still. They still don't worry about modesty. They still have ladies out of place, out of the home. They still have children not doing... the list can go on. They're skipping the things that are most important. As I've said many times, what comes after our death or even during after our rapture is the judgment seat of Christ. We're not concerned for your soul. I'm not concerned for people's souls. I'm concerned for their walk, that their judgment seat of Christ will have a few things that won't just burn up in the fire. And that's what a pastor should be from the pulpits today. And if he does that, he's not going to be well taken care of. He's not going to have his friends. He's not probably even going to have his family. It's pretty tough stuff. I think that's why what Paul says right here, we'll get back to it in 2 Timothy chapter 4, where he says, let's get back to this, and you'll see why I say what I mean here. Preach the word, or I mean what I say, however that should be. Preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season. In other words, you got to say what you got to say. It might not be the right thing to say for the times, but it needs to be said. In season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long-suffering and doctrine. Don't just be a loud mouth up there. You still got to have your long-suffering and things, but with doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. Well, sound doctrine, King James Bible, rightly dividing, Titus chapter 2. That's the walk. That's how we should be as a Christian. And we can't endure that today. People do not want to hear that stuff. We're getting awfully close to the end of this thing, aren't we? For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust they shall heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. Wear what they want, do what they want, buy what they want, watch what they want, whatever it is that tickles their itching ears. And this is what we have going on here. They're after their own lusts. And the Christians are right up there with them. And they shall turn away their ears from the truth. And people out there say, oh, the Christians want to hear truth. No, they don't want to hear the truth. The truth is the King James Bible, rightly divided. I will stand on that until I'm gone. And they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. They will go. All these things that are going on in the churches today, they're fables. But then here's the kicker here for Paul, verse 5. But watch thou in all things, endure afflictions, pastors. I mean, teachers, you know, fathers, whatever. But watch thou in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist. Make full proof of thy ministry. Paul's ministry is telling the truth. Paul's ministry is preaching the word. Paul's ministry is preaching what we should and should not do as a Christian. not like a policeman, like the pastoral policeman, not like everybody in that church. You get approval from those, from the pastor who rules over them, like it says in Hebrews. No, it's just that Paul preaches what Paul preaches, and that should affect their lives. And he's doing the work of an evangelist. Evangelists don't build churches. They preach what they have to preach. And for years, I've heard evangelists come through and preach what they think that that pastor wants to hear, what the congregation wants to hear, because they want to get their support. They want to get their $25 or $50 a month support. They don't preach what needs to be said, and they haven't preached what needs to be said. If they do, they wouldn't be invited into any churches. I used to go to churches and preach about music. They don't want to hear about music anymore. I've gone to churches and preached about Paul. I even had a Baptist pastor tell me, "Boy, you know, I can't help but just agree with what you're saying, but I don't dare preach that at my church. The people can't take it." Why can't the people take it, Pastor? I mean, this is the truth. Just tell them it's the truth. I was so surprised when that pastor told me that. And now that pastor is a pastor of an even bigger church, and everybody's having a good time. They're going after their own lust. They're heaping to themselves their own lusts, and they have itching ears, and this guy was going to fulfill that. So the comment today, the break today is, listen, the pastors that are out there, they're pulling this power play on people, and the people are following it because they don't know their Bible. They don't understand rightly dividing, and they don't realize they should be going out those doors. And if you can't find somebody to preach the truth, well, God gave you a Bible. You have it yourself. We're addicted to church. We want to be there with the friends, and it's nice to have friends and family, but they're not being fed the truth. Would you go to a restaurant where you know the cook is feeding poisonous food, even though it tastes good? Oh, wait a minute. That already happens today, doesn't it? The chemicals that are in our foods, and yet we go to these restaurants, so we just enjoy every bit of it. Might go home and get sick later, but we had good fellowship. Well, that's what's going on in the churches. The churches today are just as poisonous as the restaurants, as most of the restaurants today. And that's where we are. So the pastor should be teaching Paul's life, Paul's manner of life, Paul's doctrine. Let's go to 2 Timothy chapter 3. We're just real close by. Let's go back a little bit. 2 Timothy chapter 3. Let's go to verse 10. But thou hast fully known my doctrine. Paul is talking here, and he's going back to verse 1, for example. This know also that in the last days, we're not in the last days, perilous times shall come. That's tribulational stuff. So this is what's coming. But when you read through that, you see, boy, there's a lot of things that are already taking place. But then he gets to verse 10, but thou hast fully known my doctrine, manner of life, purpose, my faith, long-suffering, charity, patience, persecutions, afflictions. So let's go back and ask ourselves, do we fully know Paul's doctrine? Do we fully know Paul's manner of life? Do we fully know Paul's purpose? Do we know about the faith that Paul has? Do we understand Paul's long-suffering? His charity, not his love, his charity, his patience. And in a different verse, it goes right on with a comma, but it does go to a different numbered verse. Do we understand Paul's persecutions and Paul's afflictions? See, if you go back and you read the book of Acts, Acts 9 to the end of that book, you can read all about the afflictions and the persecutions and the challenges Paul had in his life. I think that whole series is on the website at least twice, if not three times. So, do we fully know those things, his doctrine? I think a lot of people probably know his doctrine from the grace world, but do they learn his manner of life? How about the purpose? How about the faith of Jesus Christ? Ask your pastor someday, do you know, Pastor, what does it mean, faith of Jesus Christ? See what he says about that. Because, by the way, all the new Bibles take faith of Jesus Christ and turn all to faith in Jesus Christ. So all the faith issue is on your own, is on you. And yet we know that we live by the faith of Christ in Galatians. Oh, it's just amazing. It's amazing, isn't it, what the pastors are doing? But what amazes me most is the people that know better still sit under their teachings, under their words, because they just have to go to church somewhere. It's just what it is. Let's leave that one at that. I think I covered what I left out the last couple of times here. I guess I can finish with this comment in case you didn't hear it before. But Hebrews, why is Hebrews even what it is? And why would Paul write to Hebrews? Well, because in Acts chapter 9, let's finish this off here. Just kind of a one more review. Just break time, relaxing break time. Acts chapter 9, where Paul goes and talks to the Jews. Here we go. Acts chapter 9, verse 20. And straightway he preached Christ in the synagogues that he is the Son of God. But all that heard him were amazed and said, is not this he that destroyed them which called on this name in Jerusalem and came hither for that intent, that he might bring them bound unto the chief priests? But Saul increased the more in strength and confounded the Jews which dwelt at Damascus, proving that this is very Christ. I think this is when Paul taught Hebrews. Without a doubt, that's what Paul was teaching those guys, and that's called the book of Hebrews. And to rightly divide that thing, God put that at the end of the Gentile time, the dispensation of grace, because that will all kick back in again during the tribulation. And what the pastors are teaching today is what should be taught during the tribulation. And chances are when the tribulation comes, those pastors will probably be teaching Paul. The devil will trick them all the way through. If you've got a pastor that's not teaching the affairs that Paul wants us to be taught, the doctrine and the long-suffering and the faith, etc., then you're in the wrong place. The pastor's got a hold over you, and don't be afraid to step out. Been there, done that, and I've helped people get out, and then what do you do? Well, keep tuning into the breaks and get to the website if you don't know what to do. There is enough preaching there to teach you and your family until the cows come home or until the Christians go out.